You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, as mentioned, we're talking about God's grace, which has power to heal us. It heals our emotional and spiritual and relational wounds and restores what is broken and brings peace to our hearts. Whether we've been hurt by others, burdened by guilt, lost despair, God's grace invites us into wholeness. So with the pastor, we're going to be exploring how grace becomes the balm for life's deepest hurts. Pastor Kane Cross, please speak to us about how it is that God's grace brings healing to our hearts and to our minds.
Yes, Bongi. The healing process that God allows to happen in all of us, God's healing process, it opens us up for the transformative power of grace.
Mm.
And God's grace operates not as a distant remedy, but as a personal and intimate embrace when we are in that healing process. And sometimes it can be a foggy process. It can be a maze that we are in. And we receive this grace through faith, trusting that God's love transcends our brokenness and will take us through. And sadly today, many people are living with multiple negative emotions, pain, guilt, shame, anger, fear, envy, and unresolved grief and loss. And God wants to heal us, and we are healed by the flow of His grace that God gives us. And Paul put it this way. He say, when we are fixed with those negative emotions, we need to pour everything out before God, Philippians 4 verse 6, and then we will have the peace that transcends all understanding. Mm. We will have that power. And we will also have the awareness of our emotional pain and growth, because we have the peace that transcends it, you know. So that helps us with the healing, to have the peace that transcends everything, mm-hmm. and you can get perspective within that emotional healing process.
I love that. I really like that, you know, everything that we've discussed, not just what you've just said now, but even over the past few days, just reinforcing the fact that God's grace is not just this thing that it has been painted as that makes us, you know, that makes us feel comfortable in our sin. It's not this thing that just feels good, that makes us feel good about who we are and where we are, but it actually does transform our lives. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of this conversation about the healing aspect of God's grace. Now, what role does grace play in forgiving others and seeking reconciliation? Because that's a big one. I think when we talk about grace, a lot of times that's what we're talking about, a relationship that has been broken, a hurt that has been done, and, you know, someone needing grace. How does grace help us in forgiving and seeking reconciliation?
Maybe I should share with you an article that I read from Psychology Today, which is a secular source, but nevertheless, it speaks of forgiveness and how it affects the mental capacity and our cognitive, our behavior when we are living with unresolved issues. Mm. It places upon the person a burden of this issue that is unresolved, that is still there, that is outstanding. And in reality, God's grace is most impressive as it acts to lead us to forgiveness. And we know that when we forgive, we get that freedom that we need so much. So God's grace is then the agent, basically, that reminds us that there is hope, that we have been on the other end of needing forgiveness from people. So it's important then for us to step up and also forgive those that are in need.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is about releasing yourself from a prison of the victim role. Forgiveness doesn't mean that what happened is okay. It means that you choose not to hold on to pain. And forgiveness is a decision it's a decision, and healing will follow. And even when we don't feel it's right to forgive, it's still okay to forgive. Doesn't mean that we must go back into the company of those people. And that is God's grace, because it puts a protection around us. Even when we go through the process of forgiveness, we are still protected by His grace, and He gives us the ability to do it within His protection, and not make ourselves vulnerable for double jeopardy and for getting victimized over and over again.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, and I know there are so many people who can identify with what you're talking about. And it's, like you said, it's not to say it's easy, but it is, when we accept God's grace, and we know that we are in need of His forgiveness or have received His, then there is no choice. Would you say that it is, it's something that has to be intentional on our part? Or would you say, once I have accepted His grace and His forgiveness, it naturally happens that I extend the same forgiveness and grace to other people? Do I have to be intentional about it, or does it happen naturally?
I think it's really doesn't happen naturally, no matter how many years we've been since. Mm-hmm. And in certain circumstances, it's easy to forgive.
Mm.
But, when given, maybe sometimes your children that get hurt, or something that is closer to your heart and it's really painful, it takes a process. It's not always natural. It doesn't always just say, oh, no, I'm a Christian and I should forgive. You go through a grieving process sometimes before you get to forgiveness, because something was wrong. There was an act. There was something happened that hurt, and you need to go through that process. I think it's healthy. I don't think that is normal for somebody just to say, okay, no, I forgave you long ago, even before you asked. It needs to be real. I don't know how you see it, Bongi.
For sure. I think this is another one that needs time for us to get into when we speak of forgiveness and reconciliation. That's a deep one that would need more time. But in continuing our conversation here, how can trusting in God's grace ease feelings of guilt and shame? I don't know. We know what the Bible says about forgiveness, and that, when God forgives us, he completely forgets our sins. But we still have that guilt sometimes that lingers, and the shame. And I don't know, we feel like we must prove that we truly are remorseful for what we did. How can trusting in God's grace ease those feelings of guilt and shame?
It deals with us as human beings, and it has to do with where we are in maturity level, what level of maturity I am as a person, and also what level of spiritual maturity am I, the depth of my relationship and my understanding of Jesus and His matchless perfect love for me, and if I have a deeper understanding of the length and breadth and height and depth of His love, it makes it easier. But it's something that given certain circumstances, when one is in a proximity of the people, for instance, that has dealt with that matter, or you dealt with it, it does bring back those experiences. It does, where you feel again. But then you get reminded by the Holy Spirit, no. Yeah. You are free indeed.
Yeah.
Your God is forgotten. He does not call it. A story that stands out for me, Bongi, is Corrie ten Boom. We remember the story where she was preaching, and one of her protagonists that was in the concentration camps knew she was speaking. And he came because he needed deliverance. He needed freedom.
Yeah.
And the beauty, we always focus on Corrie, but the grace has found that man. I don't think he came there because he reaction, but he came there because he needed freedom. And grace propels us to freedom, to true liberty in Christ. Yeah. And when God finds us, it moves us in the right directions, and our hearts are subdued, and we want to do the right thing for God and towards all other people in our influence sphere, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then what biblical stories can we talk about that would show the healing power of God's grace?
Two stories that came to mind. One of my favorite story is of one of the concubines of Saul, mm-hmm. Rizpah. David comes into power, and Saul had an outstanding debt, and it wasn't paid to one of the nations. And there was then a recommendation or a suggestion, let's kill the descendants of Saul. And David then allowed that to happen. Mm-hmm. And she could not save them because it's the king's decree. But she protested for them in their death. They were hanging on in public square, their corpses. And for 5 months, the Bible says, for 5 months, she watched over them, and she fight off vultures by day and night. Sure. You know, and it speaks to me of a healing process. Now, to be there as a mother of your children, it's not easy. But it's the healing process that we go through. We all grieve and heal differently, you know. So that was her experience. And eventually the king had to do right, take them off, give them a proper, decent, dignified burial. And also Saul's bones were also then brought, and they were all buried together, you know, only because of somebody that went through the healing process and didn't sit in a corner. Mope and in the darkness of her pain, you know? The last one is David's mourning, and David mourned for Absalom, and it's a bitter mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And we read in 2 Samuel 19, we find that David had a very difficulty of saying no to Absalom, and Absalom grew up thinking that he was entitled and everything. So David's mourning is twofold, not only for the loss, but he also mourns because he feels that if only he was a better parent, you know, maybe, you know, that maybe things would have been different for Absalom. And he mourns on that, but he finds healing through God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the mourning is not pretty, and it's not, dignified, and there's some backstory behind why we mourn and why she's crying so terribly. But it's mourning and it's healing nevertheless. It's your experience, you know, and we need to go through the experiences.
Very true, very true. Sure. And then how can we help others experience the restorative power of grace? What can we do as believers, as people who have accepted and are enjoying the benefits and the blessings of God's grace? How do we help others experience that same restorative power?
The woman at the well, she was guilt and shame ridden. That's why she came at midday.
Yeah.
And she, when she had an encounter with the source of grace, grace personified Jesus, she lost all her stigma and ran and said, come and see a man.
Mm.
And that is the foundational experience where we then experience Christ, and we can share our testimony. Look what he done for me, she said. Look what we done. And then show support. And we know that a whole city was saved because of this lady that refused to hang on to her faults and to the things of the past, and went out and she went and restored others. And many were saved because of her, of the work that she's done.
Mm. Mm. And so what's our part then, using that same example?
I say that we should, when we want to help others experience this power, tell them what he done for me. Share your testimony.
Mm.
Share your testimony tell them about who helped you, share Jesus with them, and then support them. Whether they accept it the first time, whether they don't follow all your counsel, just support. Be there and love people, and love will do more for people than all the things that we want to share them, all the advices we have, you know, that we want to share. Is love can do more, just to love them.
Yeah.
And will definitely follow us eventually.
Beautiful.
True love.
Love it. Thank you so much, Pastor. We'll be wrapping up our conversation tomorrow, same time and same place. But thank you so much for coming through once again. God bless you. Have a wonderful day ahead.
Same to you. God bless you. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.